Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 7, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Learn to Exhort and Not Tear Down. Can I get an amen? Amen. Learn to exhort. And we're going to look at these verses here where Paul instructed Timothy, a young pastor. And as a young pastor, there's a whole lot to learn. Can I get amen? So Paul, having more experience and having more years in the ministry, instructed little Timothy to have wisdom from God. And we're going to see how he instructed him. And when we first opened up in the very beginning of Timothy, one of the things that Paul advised him and instructed him and warned him about false teachers, amen? So we covered that. But now he's dealing with those that are part of the congregation. And how many know that even in churches, people are going to have an ought with one another? Well, if you haven't found that out yet, keep on coming to church. They happen. But there's a way to deal with things through Christ. Amen? Man, you know, the world said, what up? You know, and you get into each other's face, right? That should never be in the church. Can I get amen? The Bible's clear. If you have an ought with a brother or sister, you go to them and you plead your case. They don't want to hear you. Then you bring an elder. And if you can't get that resolved, guess what? Then you come before the church. That's the order. So there's an order with things. Can I get amen? So let's read these verses and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to take us tonight. And it says, yes, it's rolling. Yes. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. Verse 2, older women as mothers, younger as sisters with all purity. Ooh, that's key right here. Honor widows who are really widows. Okay. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. Repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Verse 7. Oh man, we're going to talk about that. And these things command that they may be what? Blameless. Blameless. So let's look at verse 1 once again. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as father, younger men as brothers. Saints, the wise apostle, Apostle Paul, he knew that this young minister, to remain above reproach in dealing with a whole variety of people in his church, he would have to treat them as family. Can I get amen? You know that we're all family. I hope you know that. We're not strangers. You know, we're just not acquaintances. We're family. We're the family of God. We have something greater than the world has. And you know what that is? The eternal security that lives within us. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. We have that what's called koinonia spirit. Can I get amen? The world cannot confess that. The world does not know Jesus. They can't even call Jesus Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. So, speak harshly refers to verbal pounding or disrespectful treatment. We as Christians, we should never open our mouth in anger and have a volatile mind. Because the moment you, I don't care if it's a friend, if it's a neighbor, I don't care even if it's your spouse, whether they're saved or not. You open your mouth and you start chewing them up and spitting them out, you are bringing a reproach to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? You're bringing a reproach. So speak harshly refers to verbal pounding or disrespectful treatment. If correction became necessary, Timothy should not be speaking harshly. Instead, he should appeal to the older men with kind exhortation, respectfully, as if he were speaking to his father. Come on, those of you who love your father, would you ever curse him out? Would you ever disrespect your father? Would you ever slander him? Would you ever slap him? No, God forbid. Even correction and rebuke was to be phrased in encouraging terms. There's a way to correct someone, and in the meantime, you're encouraging them. Did you know that? There's a way to do that. And we find scriptures all over the place, but let's look at Ephesians right up here. Let's go to the next scripture right up here. Ephesians 4:29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." Man, if you're still cursing and blah, 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 and vile things, you got to, man, you got to check yourself. Is the Holy Spirit living in me? You know why? Because God will never speak to anyone like that. And so if you find yourself just cursing and downplaying and vials coming out, Lord, am I saved? Or like I like how Brother G says it, am I faking the funk? But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve. Listen, when you pound someone with your mouth, I got to bring this home, because some of us in here, maybe all of us, maybe none of us, but there's an area that we struggle in, and that's with our mouth. It's the mouth. Did you know it's your mouth that gets you in trouble? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes. Look at this. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. In other words, how can I bless you? How can I raise you up? How can I say good things to you, even though you think of me so negative? Oh, man, that's when the rubber meets the road. Look at this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Ghost is living in you, how can you be cursing out someone? Man, God who saved you from a horrible hell. And now that thing is still spewing out. Something's out of order. There's a disconnect somewhere. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Come on. Look at this, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. All malice. Man, get the junk out of the trunk. Get it out. I don't care what someone says to you or gets in your mug. Man, just walk away. Just, you know what? This is old. You know, I'm not gonna go old school on you. With all malice. You know why? Did Jesus go old school? No, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He took all that trash on the cross for you and for me. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. So just remember that. I don't care what someone has said or done to you. You know, the greatest demonstration of faith and courage and watching God work mightily in someone's life, and I'm going to boast in Christ about this, but my brother, my older brother G, his son got murdered at Plaza Bonita Mall. He went into the prison and forgave that man. Come on. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit, because you know what? The flesh says, I want to kill that man. Man, you're thinking, you're going back to the thug life day. Man, I can think of some vicious stuff to do to him. And I'm sure he was there at one point. And then God had to get a hold of his heart. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for with Christ. Can I get an amen? Look at Proverbs 19:20 right up here. This is once again referring to Timothy. Oh, Paul's exhorting him, watch what you say. And see, they had the Old Testament to go to refer to go back. Remember, the New Testament is just being written. Look at this. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Meaning, should God tarry and he doesn't come soon, like we know he's coming soon, then every day that you're in the Word, every day that you're living as a believer, man, learn instruction. Why? For the latter days. You know why? A month later, 2 months later, someone's going to cut you off on the road, and God's going to test you. And so I'm hoping that you've learned, okay, you know what? Oh, God, come on. I'm not going to go there, God. I'm not going to go there. Bless you. Bless you. See you, man. God, Jesus loves you. Come on, man. We got to be real who we are. Amen. Come on, man. We're not from the body no more. The Bible says we're seated in heavenly places. Come on. Somebody got to say amen to that. That's right. Look at this. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is a better than a liar. Whoa. Jesus, help us. And let me just say this. Every one of us, yeah, you may have $50 in your account, but let me just say this. You are a wealthy person in Christ. Oh, yes. Rancho Santa Fe don't have nothing on where you live. Can I get an amen? You may be in a little one-bedroom apartment, but guess what God has prepared for those who love him? Oh, yeah. Forget about those homes. I've seen them. I've been through these realtor tours, and, you know, I go, man, you know, as soon as you look at that stuff, your heart starts to covet after that. You know, horse stables, basketball courts, 80-inch television sets in the toilet. Swimming pools coming in from outside into the house. I've seen it all. 15,000 square feet homes. Come on. For those of you who live in a one-bedroom apartment, it's half of a closet to that house over there. But Jesus has a place prepared for us. Can I get an amen? Come on, you gotta know that God has something better than this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:1. As God's partners, this is you and I. I'm reading this out of the Living Translation. As God's partners, we beg you not to toss aside this marvelous message of God's great what? Kindness. So if God is kind, we are to emulate him. We are to be like God. Can I get an amen? Bible says be like Christ. And so walk with kindness. Man, don't walk around, man, like you just drank a glass of prune juice. I always use the little saladito thing because I can't stand them. Yeah, some of you guys are like, enjoy them. Enjoy them. For God says, your cry came to me as a favorable time when the doors of welcome were wide open. I helped you on a day when salvation was being offered. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. Can I get amen? Look at verse 3. We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we what? Act. So that no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. The last thing you want is, man, that person is so rough. And they go to that church over there. What? That's bringing a reproach. You know, if your neighbors are listening to you chew out your wife or your husband, and it's like, wah! They're probably saying, I don't want to go to that church where they're going. Hello? We try to live in such a way that no one will ever be offended or kept back from finding the Lord by the way we act, so that no one can find fault with us and blame it on the Lord. In fact, in everything we do, we try to show that we are true ministers of what? God. I just heard this precious testimony of Sister Gina going down to Tijuana, blessing those kids. Blessing. Some of them don't even have shoes. And some of you sisters, man, you have four closets full of them. Okay, just my wife, I guess. I'm just playing. You know what I'm talking about. We here in America, we have everything we want. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, yes. We got everything we want. And these people, man, they're scrounging for a meal. Same in the same way Timothy was to speak kindly to younger men as if they were his brothers. He was led to lead them gently. He was told, be gentle with them. This is the exhortation that was coming from Paul the Apostle. Without using specific term, Paul was speaking about submission, learning to submit. Timothy was to practice submissive gentleness in correcting even the seniors. Man, there's some old folks. You know some old folks. They just don't get it. And they'll probably never get it. But you know what? You know what's our job to do? Is to love them through it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And help them. He was to do the same in treating the juniors. So now let's go to verse 2. Verse 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 5. Older women as mothers, younger as sisters with all purity. So now he's saying you need to be really careful with the sisters in the church. Okay? Because God placed them in there. And at this time, during this dispensation, women were considered secondary, second class, but not in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm all with equality and all that. I get it. And every woman has a right to achieve the things, even in our day and time, just as a man. Can I get amen? But here in the church, and in that entire time frame, the women were treated as secondary. Like, you know, we're just going to ignore them. You know, the men were more important. That's a lie from the pit. Saints, Jesus recognized the personhood of women. They were no longer to be treated as property and therefore no longer to be demeaned. Paul affirmed this principle as he explained to Timothy how to treat his sisters in the faith. And you do it in love, and you do it with gentleness and kindness. Every time you guys come through those doors, you sisters, praise the Lord. Because I want to show you that, you know what? Yolanda and I, we truly care for you. We do. And the majority of here tonight are sisters. And I praise God for each and every one of you. You are blessed by the Most High God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So the Word of God specifically exhorts this. Look at this. In Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in what? Christ Jesus. We're all equal at the cross. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I've met some sisters that are fully anointed, flowing with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because that's what God chose. God chose them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then you have to honor and revere and respect that as brothers in Christ. Look at Philippians 4:1. Look at what it says. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. And look how the sisters are mentioned here. I implore Euodia and implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Did you catch that? If they're out there ministering and helping and blessing, man, what could we do in return to bless them? Can I get an amen? That's what the word says here. With Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. And when I did a Hebraic study on the Lord is at hand, that means you and I, who have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, he's at hand. He's there with us. He's here. Thank you, God. Listen, this is not an extinct religion. We serve the living God. Can I get an amen? He's alive and well. And so today, saints, men in the ministry can avoid improper attitudes toward women by following Paul's advice. Men who see women as fellow members in God's family will treat them with all purity, respecting, protecting, and helping them grow spiritually. That's my job as a pastor. When I deal with the sisters, Yolanda's always with me. Can't be alone in ministry. No, She needs to be there with me. Why? So that we can now, as one, minister in love, in kindness, in truth. And sometimes the truth hurts a little. Sometimes we need to hear some truth. Can I get amen? Amen. Especially if we start swaying this way or we swaying that way. And so our job is to gently get you back on track to follow the Lord. Can I get amen? Amen. God is so good. He is so good. Saints, the most effective method for remaining above reproach would be to treat the church members as family members. Can I get amen? So we're family. Thus, Timothy should treat the older women as if they were his own mother, and the younger women as they were his own sisters. That's how you do it. That's how it gets done. Today, men in the ministry can avoid improper attitudes toward women by following Paul's advice. Just stick to the word. Don't stick to your own understanding. You stick to your own understanding, guess what? That's a recipe for disaster. It is. I mean, I'd rather go to the word. What does the word say? Okay, Lord, yes. Yes and amen. And so, men who see women as fellow members in God's family will treat them with all purity, respecting them, protecting them, so that they can grow spiritually and be effective in the ministry of Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. Look what it says in 1 Peter right up here. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and honor the King. So when we're loving each other, like Christ expects us, we're honoring the King. Hallelujah. It's not about, oh man, I was good today. Man, the moment we wake up, we know good. God makes us good. Can I get amen? Thank you, Lord. Look at Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Did you catch that? Yes, strife and reproach will cease. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the King will be his friend. So if you want to be in good standing with God, be pure at heart. Love the Lord. Love people. Man, the worst thing you can do is everything we say out of our mouth, we will stand before God. And he will judge every word, every action, and every deed. So before you get ready to blurt out something, so, oh God, no. Lord, I love them. Lord, I love them. You created them. And they just as ugly as me. So when you call someone ugly, you look in the mirror. There's three pointing right back at you. God is good. Purity refers to the same quality that Paul mentioned in verse 4 and 12. It covers moral behavior, transparent attitudes without hidden intentions. Can I get an amen? Man, get the hidden intention out. Do it out of a pure heart. And God will honor you. Let's go to verse 3 in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Honor widows who are really widows. Okay, there were some that were faking it. You ever heard of a black widow? There's some modern ones. Them poor brothers, man, drank the wrong cup of tea that morning. Someone must have had a huge insurance. Oh, yeah. This, we're going to see what the Word of God says here about that. Saints, because there were no pensions, no Social Security, no life insurance, and few honorable jobs for women, a widow was usually unable to support herself back in these times. There were no social services. There was no EBT cards. There was no welfare system back then. They relied on the grace of God. But the care of widows was apparently becoming a major burden to the congregation in Ephesus and called for clarification as to who was really a widow qualifying for support. So Timothy knew the Old Testament. Paul knew the Old Testament. Look what it says right here, because they were warned. You must not exploit widows or orphans. If you do so in any way, and they cry to me, I'm talking cry to God. Look at this. If they cry for me for my help, I will surely give it. And my anger shall flame out against you, and I will kill you with enemy armies so that your wives will be widows and your children fatherless. What? These were for these mean guys that would come home and beat their wives and just, man, and just, and then wouldn't even bless the widows. Some of them would say, oh, man, you must curse God somehow. They were conjuring up thoughts. Oh, man, you know what? You're a cursed person. This is why you all by yourself. Lies. God says, I will take care of that. Can I get an amen tonight? Are we hearing truth tonight? Come on. Look how Jesus took care of this. Look at Luke 20, 45. Then with the crowds listening, he turned to his disciples and said, beware of these experts in religion, for they love to parade in dignified robes and to be bowed to by the people as they walk around along the street, and how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and at religious festivals. These guys over here, that's what they do. They're in pompous, you know. Man, I could go further, but I won't. Look at verse 47. But even while they were praying long prayers with great outward piety, you know some of the stories that Jesus told? Some of those religious folks that says, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like him. And what they're just hitting their chest, all pride, like a peacock. Look at this. But even while they were praying long prayers with great outward piety, they are planning schemes to cheat widows out of their property. You see these scammers? Gee, is your Bible red writing? This is Jesus. Therefore, God's heaviest sentence awaits these men. What? Man, I wouldn't want to see God face to face doing these to these poor widows. Paul advised Timothy to identify those widows who had no one else to care for them. The responsibility for caring for the helpless naturally falls first on their families, the peoples whose lives are most closely linked with their lives. We get that. Paul stressed the importance of families caring for the needs of widows and not leaving it for the church to do, so that the church can care for widows who had no families. A widow who had no children or other family members to support her was doomed to poverty. The church should care for such widows, meaning both respectful help and material support. Can I get amen? So let's go to verse 4 now. Verse 4 in 1 Timothy chapter 5. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. You know, there's many of you who saw your parents going on to be with Jesus, and you loved them to all the way to the end. Can I get an amen? You loved them all the way through. Because that's what God requires us, to love them all the way through. Come on. They changed thousands of your diapers and mine. Praise God. And when we were fed, weren't we? And I can't wait to be reunited with them in heaven. Because, you know, some of them have passed maybe 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. My mom, she died at least 20 years ago. My dad's still alive by the grace of God. He's 92. But 20 years, 30 years, it's but not even a microcosm of a second compared to eternity. There's no clocks in heaven. And so we are exhorted in the Ten Commandments. How many can recite the Ten Commandments? Okay. I'm talking all 10 of them. Did you know the Ten Commandments is still valid today? Did you know that it's still in action? God did not delete it. And yet our court system has kicked it out of the courts. It's no longer in the public square. Let's look at this. Honor your father and mother that you may have a long and good life in the land that the Lord your God will give you. So if you want a long and good, prosperous life, honor your parents. Can I get amen? Amen. Love them. Love them. Learn to love them. Saints, God is pleased when we care for our family members' needs. Can I get amen? God underscores the importance of fulfilling these duties by connecting with them the promise of personal benefits in the fifth commandment. Even in Deuteronomy, it says right here, look at this. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. God will bless your life when you honor your mom and dad. Can I get amen? Amen? Honor certainly involves more than providing care in old age, but the caring treatment of our seniors is part of God's plan. Now, here's the opposite to this. Let's look at verse 5 in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. In other words, there are some that are just faking it, working the system, getting all they can. I've heard it said like this. I've seen it throughout being a pastor and other churches. And I'm not going to hear and blast anyone's name because I don't do that. But I've seen predicaments where some will not remarry no more because their funds will be cut off from their prior husband. Oh, yeah, they know how to work the system. God says right here, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. Man, come on. This is time to get right with God. Can I get amen? Be pure in heart with God. Saints, the true widows alone in this world that is destitute with no one to turn for help. However, a Christian widow could turn to the church and the people of God, setting her hope in God. The widows that the church should support are described as women who, since their husband's death, dedicated themselves to God, spending much time in prayer. Anna, the prophetess, fit this perfect description. Look at this. It's right up here. Now, there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. In other words, she was, you know, probably 70, 80 maybe, and had lived with a husband for 7 years from her virginity. Look at this. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers and day and night. Honored God. Honored God. Look at verse 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him. All those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Her heart was all about God. This verse sets up a spiritual contrast regarding the lives of two kinds of widows. The true widow lives trusting God and ministering to others. Can I get amen? She is not wrapped up in self-pity, but finds a place of effective service beginning with prayer for others. Meanwhile, the other widow is lost to a self-centered lifestyle Paul described as death. Unlike their duties to be dedicated widows described in verse 5, the church was not to support those widows who used their widowhood to live for pleasure or resorted to immoral means of supporting themselves, possibly a reference to prostitution, practically the job of a woman who couldn't find. And there, a lot of them reverted to that because of what we explained earlier. During this time, women were considered secondary. Can I get amen? But in our modern day, there's no more excuse. You can get help. You can help yourselves. You can find ways to honor God. Can I get amen? But there are some that just cheat the system. And God sees it all, and he will deal with those people. And we're not to call them out. We're not, you know, God will take care of it all. He knows everything that we do in our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so honoring and assisting widows who live for pleasure would enable her to do wrong. But correcting her and offering forgiveness through repentance could still be an effective ministry by the church. Can I get an amen? That's what I love about God. He gives us an opportunity to repent before him. I don't care which way we've gone. I don't care how many times we stumbled and fumbled the ball. God will pick us up. Amen. But you got to turn to him with your whole heart and repent. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, this is book, chapter, and verse. So we cover every week. We go through the verses, right? We can't hop over anything. We got it. Preach line by line. And that's what we do on Wednesday nights here. Amen. This is to help us. This is where you get meat. Can I get amen? The meat is on Wednesday night. I hope you know that. Matter of fact, before we left, my dear wife, I haven't had a piece of steak in a long time. She made a, man, this was meat. Woo! I was going, wow, this, man, a baked potato and all that, man, with a salad. I go, man, you know, not that she doesn't do that for me, but this was a special one. Like, wow, thank you, Jesus. I said, Lord, bless her, God. Bless her hands. Bless her heart. Man, she was thinking of me. And she thinks of me every day because I think of her every day. Hallelujah. This is why we've been married for 21 years. Hallelujah. You know, marriage can work. But it takes two to love each other unconditionally. Can I get a man? You can't put no stipulations. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, you know what? Her and I, we can look at each other and we can point out all kinds of mess on each other. But you know what? The love that we have for Christ, it covers each other. I don't see her heir. And I don't want to see her heir. And I don't want a reminder of her heir. Can I get amen? Because I just want to love her and say, God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for this flower that you plucked out of your garden and you presented her to me. And so I'm going to cherish this. Can I get amen? That's how you have to take the approach that God, hallelujah, came and found you in a whole bunch of mess. And he still saved you. He still loved you. He still treasured you. He still loves you till this day. Can I get amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And so with that same love, God wants you to demonstrate that same love to others. Hallelujah. No differently. He would have never went to the cross if he didn't love us. Man, I can't wait till I see him in eternity. I'm going to fall to his feet. Say, thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. I know how wretched I was. Man, I didn't want to follow instructions. I lied to my parents. I lied to everybody. I lived a life of debauchery. And yet you still saved me. And you cleansed me and you washed me. You purified my heart. You clothed me with your righteousness. And now I stand in this white robe that I can't see physically. But you see that white robe on me. Why? Because you have purified us with your blood. There is no longer a crimson stain. Woo, man, come on. When you get a hold of that. Come on. You got to see it for how God sees you. He sees you as his beloved. Hallelujah. We can't say that for the rest of the world. I'm talking about those outside of the church. He will save whom he wants to save. Can I get amen? Amen. We just have to be about our Father's business. Keep planting. Keep watering. The Bible says water and plant, and God will give the increase. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we serve a mighty God. And so let's look at this last verse. And these things command that they may be what? Blameless. Blameless. Saints, Paul told Timothy also to give these instructions regarding the church responsibilities to widows, family members responsibility to the widows, and to all those who were very important to God in the church. And so I leave you with these scriptures, and then we'll pray. Hallelujah. Look at Philippians right here. Therefore, my beloved. You know, there's some of you that I've heard. I'm not going to say who you are. But every now and then, I hear someone call me, hey, my beloved. I said, man, you're using the word of God. That's what God says. You know, we're all beloved of Christ. Can I get an amen? Come on. When you say that, that's because you're honoring God. My beloved sister, my beloved brother. Because God says we are his beloved. Can I get amen? Amen? Look at this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Hallelujah. That means, God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, God. Now, God, every day when you wake up, God, use me. Use me. You know, when you ask God to use you, he will set up your day planner. He will cause divine appointments to come to you. Come on. Oh, yes. But you got to say, oh, God, use me today when I wake up. Oh, God, let someone, Lord, hear your word. Use me, oh, God. And when you cry out with that kind of sincerity and desire, man, he will bring people in your life that you thought would never come. And all of a sudden, he reminds you of what you prayed for that morning. And now you're just sharing the love of God. You say, oh, my gosh, God, you just brought this person to me. And I'm going to share the love of God. Let me get a little fist bump there. Look at this. Oh, let's go back. Verse 13. Let's go back one more time. Verse 13. For it is God who works in you, what? Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So when he works in you, it pleasures him. You know why? Because here's the thing that baffles you and I. We'll never understand this until we get to heaven. But here we are, knowing that we're very sinful. Our minds sometimes is not in the right spot. Can I get amen? There's sometimes we look at things we shouldn't, say some things we do. We do things we shouldn't, even as believers. Can I get amen? Let's be real here. It's real. But he knows he created us. He knows that we are fallen creatures. He knows that unless he saves us, we cannot do his will. So once he saved us, now he marvels at us like, man, look at them doing the things that I love, that I take pleasure in. When you go help the widow, when you go help the homeless, when you go pray for those who need prayer. He takes pleasure in that because he knows we can't do without him. So he's the enabler. You ever download a software program and yet, man, how come this is not working? Oh, you forgot to download and implement the code. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, you have to pay for it. They'll send you a separate email, and then there it is. You just put that in there now, and then the software will enable, right? Well, until the Holy Ghost comes, we cannot be enabled. So he enables us to what? To do his good pleasure. So never think, oh, man, look what I'm doing, man. Look what I'm doing, man. Look at me now. That's him doing it in you. Come on. You got to defer to him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. I would have never known that I could ever be used like this by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who spoke everything into existence, who lives in the third heaven, hallelujah, where the Hubble telescope cannot ever see heaven. It is beyond, because the galaxies go on for infinity. And yet God lives even higher than that. He lives in the third heaven. Oh my gosh. And yet he sent his son to die for you, to die for me. Look at this. Verse 4, look at this. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and what? Harmless. So you know what? Yeah, man. Yeah, that person gets on my last inch of nerves. Well, so did the whole world. If you look at it in the bigger picture, look what the whole world did to him. So if that one person is causing you some damage, control, you know what? Instead of saying, what up? This is what you do. Oh, Lord, give me a heart, God. Oh, Lord, help me, God. Jesus, I need you, Lord. Calm my heart, God. Give me wisdom. Lord, let blessings come out of my mouth, not cursing, oh, God. Don't let me be like them, God. Let me be like you, Jesus. Look at that. Blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked generation. Man, there's people that are so crooked. You might be living with a crooked person. I don't know. I don't know that. All I can say is this, is even if they are, man, put your heart in check. Say, God, I'm still, man, going to think the best, not the worst. Can I get an amen? Love them. Just love them. Jesus demonstrated love. Oh, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at it, because we live in a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Did you catch that? Okay, so have the light shining. And so all those who are crooked and perverse around you, they'll have some hope. And you know, that person doesn't budge. Man, that person all, man, I don't see this person flustered. And I see what they're going through, and yet they're glorifying God. And guess what? Eventually, I want what you have. I give up on myself. I don't have what you, and I want it. And God brings them to a place of repentance through your witness. Through your witness. Come on. Look at this. Shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. The word of life is here. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What you're doing for Christ, listen, he's going to remember everything you've done for him. Come on, you may be driving on fumes, and yet your desire is to go and bless God's people. Can I get an amen? He's going to remember that. He's going to send help. Can I get an amen? We close with it. And yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad. Look at this. I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go before God. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, thank you, God. And Lord, I found myself many times being a stiff neck. And Lord, you would have to reprove my heart many times. But you never destroyed me. You showed me more of your grace. And you loved me through it. Even though you had to put me in the whooping shed. And you had to paddle my behind. And I thank you for that. Because that shows me that you love me. And when I need to be corrected, you correct me, God. And as King James vernacular, I'm just quoting King James. Because you correct me when you need to correct me, it lets me know that I'm not a bastard child. That I am loved by the beloved. Lord, help us, Lord. Help us with our struggles. Help us, Lord, through the trials that we enter in. And Lord, as we pray for the Juarez family right now that have lost their loved one, some of them may not even have a relationship with you. And I pray, God, that someone will say a word that day and maybe cause someone to be drawn to you. Lord, I pray for us here tonight that you would continue to work mightily in our lives. Lord, that you don't give up on us. Some of us sometimes need to be put upside down and paddled because we're stiff-necked. And yet, you love us. You don't give up on us. So, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you would bless the saints. Lord, let this word, Lord, resonate in our hearts. Knowing, Lord, that we are so loved by you. And we have the confidence in your word. We have the blessings of your spirit. And we have confidence that what you started in us, you will complete in the day of the Lord. And so, God, we say tonight we love you. We praise you. We glorify thee. We magnify you, O God. For you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're from everlasting to everlasting, for you are God. And thank you, God. You didn't have to save us, but you did. And we are at your mercy and your grace. And I'm praying right now, maybe someone stumbled onto this message, and maybe someone maybe has walked away, and you allowed them to hear this message to let them know that you still love them. I'm reminded of the prodigal son. When the father saw him coming from far away, he didn't close the blinds and muzzle the dog. He opened the door and ran to him and said, "My son was lost, and now he is found." Oh God, that story gives us hope all the time. And so, Lord, if there's someone listening right now, we want to pray this simple prayer with them. The prayer is not magical, it's not mystical. It's a tool that God gives to mankind here on earth, as sinful as we are, to communicate with the holy God in heaven. And so if you're listening right now, pray this simple prayer right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.